with our song, Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit. Come and pray in us,
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Logos, and immanent Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin that will have the current and upcoming events. Be sure to take that home with you. And also don't forget to check out the website at consciousharmony.org. In that insert, there's also our community song, so you might want to take a minute to just look at that so that you can sing freely when we sing. Our community reading, The Yoga of Eating, is now available in the bookstore for those of you who are interested in that. We're going to be having a half-day centering prayer retreat on Saturday, November the 11th, and that's going to be from 12:30 to 5 p.m., so in the afternoon. There's a $10 love offering and no need to pre-register for that. Also, we're taking reservations for the five-day centering prayer retreat at Cedar Break that will be held January 19th through the 23rd. And please check the office for more details. That has been called by you all our renewal retreat. It is a good way to renew your intention and to start off a lovely do or aim for the year to deepen our relationship with God. As always with our centering prayer events, there are scholarships available, so never let money hold you back. Our annual Christmas program, The Glorious Impossible, will be held Thursday, December 14th at 7 p.m. We're looking for your participation on stage and off. No experience necessary. Rehearsals begin Sunday, November 5th at 1 o'clock. There will only be 5 rehearsals, and it is a glorious way to serve and to be served by the community. As I was reading that, I was thinking in the Himalayan mountains where Tim and I used to go, there's the ashram. You have to walk up there like 3.5 miles. There's no way to get there except to walk. And every Christmas, through the river, through the Ganges, every Christmas, the Westerners would put on the glorious impossible. And the people that lived in the mountains there would come for miles around to watch this simple yet heartfelt offering to God of the offering that he has been giving to us. So think about it, pray about it. It's a wonderful gift for the community, but it's also a way to remember what's happening during Christmas. If you're new here, welcome. We're glad you're here. There'll be someone on the other side of the bridge to give you something to take home and read and to perhaps begin a dialogue with us. And now Michael has a special announcement for us.
Good morning. As we approach the end of the year, there are going to be more communication and a few more special announcements about special things happening around the end of the year and the beginning of next year. As Tim and Barbara approach the end of their participation as the ministers of the Church of Conscious Harmony and as Peter Haas assumes his new role as minister, he starts on November the 1st as a member of our staff. So there's a couple of months of overlap period before the flaming chariot comes swooping down and takes Tim and Barbara up with Isaiah. As soon as Peter arrives, Tim and Barbara are going to go off for a 10-day retreat at New Camaldoli. And so Peter will be jumping straight into this chair on the first two Sundays of November. When Tim and Barbara come back from retreat, they will resume their ordinary roles through the end of the year. There are two things in particular that I want to invite you to today. One is a special town hall meeting that we'll be having on Sunday, November the 19th. That's the third Sunday of November. That'll be the first Sunday that Tim and Barbara are back. And we will have Tim and Barbara and Peter together for the first time for the community, as well as our business manager, Donald Janung, and myself. And it's just to talk about the transition, how Peter is going to be assuming some of the roles, and give you a chance to ask questions, and hopefully we'll have answers for them. So after church on November the 19th, you're invited to that special town hall meeting. The other thing that you're invited to is a very special celebration that we are planning on Saturday, January the 6th. Now, that seems like a long way off. So that is in celebration of two things. One is it's in celebration of 30 years of grace. 2018 is the 30th anniversary of the Church of Conscious Harmony. And so it's an opportunity to come together as a community and really sink into the grace that has been showered upon us for these last 30 years. And it's also a celebration of Tim and Barbara and their role at the church and the contribution that they have made to all of our lives. This celebration is going to be down the hall at the One World Theater, down the hill at the One World Theater. And so we're having a catered dinner and drinks and a band, and so it's really going to be quite the celebration. So all of you are invited, but there's a catch. And the catch is that you have to pre-register on the CCH website. There's a nominal charge for this, but since we're invoking professional caterers and so on, we need to really have a good headcount coming into December so that we, anyway. So that is the one request. So on the CCH website, under the happenings, or the calendar section, there's a link there for the Celebration of Grace that you can use for registering. It turns out that the Gospel of Matthew says something about this particular event, much to my surprise, really. So I thought that I would just share it with you. It's one of Jesus' parables, and it goes like this. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not pre-register for the party. The wise ones, however, did. The party was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But in January, the cry rang out, "It's time, it's time." All of the virgins woke up. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us your tickets, we forgot to pre-register." "No," they replied. "There is not enough food and drink for you and for us. Instead, go see if you can find an internet connection and register yourselves." But lo, it was late and even Starbucks was closed. Therefore, keep watch and pre-register on the CCH website.
Are we being replaced? Wow, I got butterflies hearing that. Closures. Windings down. Wow. Lettings go of the wonderful and the familiar and the opening to the mystery. I had something entirely else planned to share with you than what I feel coming right now, but let's see what happens. I got a note yesterday from Bernadette Roberts. I had found that she did not go on the retreat she was planning to at Nukumalali because her ALS has taken the big turn, and she's no longer capable of functioning. Well, she wasn't last time we saw her either. She couldn't talk, and you know, ALS freezes the respiratory muscles and the throat and the eyes, and so it's a progressively debilitating disease. And her little note said, "I'll write more soon. I'm looking for help that'll be with me till the end." And when she said end, I just realized, oh my God, my life, our life, is so radically different from having known this human being, this divine human being. Just before we started this, maybe a year before we started this church, I had a counseling office down the street called the Westland Counseling Center with Tim Cook, clinical pastoral counselor, and people stayed away in droves. And But I open that place at 10 o'clock every morning, and I close it at 4 o'clock every night, and metaphysically created a space, an intentional space, into which something could come. And a dear friend of mine said, "Hey, I got this book. It's just for you. You'll love it. It's called The Path to No Self." And so what I did was read all day when nobody came. I read books. I studied the stuff I love. And I got a hold of The Path to No Self, and I could almost not believe what I had in my hands. I could almost not believe anybody could say this, because I had been studying, since 68, the spiritual literature, mostly of the East, but a lot in Christianity. And suddenly there was a book in my hand that answered all my questions, that laid it out as clearly as I could imagine it being laid out. I was stunned, just stunned to have a book like this. So I wrote this person a letter, and I sent it to the publisher because I didn't know who they were. I mean, it was just Bernadette Roberts. Oh, there was this guy that recommended the book. It's some guy, I don't know who, it was Thomas Keating. Said it was the clearest expression of the Christian journey that has ever been written. And I thought, well, what, if this is such a good book, why don't they get somebody knows to recommend it? So I wrote this person a letter because I needed guidance. For the first time in my life, I didn't feel guided. I didn't know where I was going. I had this hunger to share the Spirit of God with people, and yet the churches we had served had been more about enthusiasm and having church than about transformation. And I was really interested in meeting some people who were interested in transformation, so I was ready to give up on church. And so I wrote to Bernadette asking her for guidance, and I listed four things, but mainly, what do I do with me? What am I good for? Because I'd kind of thought myself into a position where I was unfit for other work, and maybe we'll get to the talk through that today. But I got a letter back, a three-page letter. Back up one sentence. After I read that book, I knew two things for sure. One, whoever wrote that book had to love me. There is no way anybody wrote that from a pedestrian level of consciousness. That was the divine writing through a human being. And I knew the other thing is she could answer any question I had. And so I wrote her a very frank letter and kind of laid it out there, and I got a three-page letter back offering tremendous guidance, and went to a retreat with her at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, Pir Vilayat Khan's place. And the man who gave me the book and another, a therapist from town, the man who gave me the book was a psychiatrist. We all went there with great excitement, and in the shuttle bus on the way over to the retreat center, I was riding shotgun, and the word was we were going to stop and pick up Bernadette Roberts, the person who wrote this letter. And so I was all excited, and as the bus came, the van came up to a corner, there was a woman all dressed in white with her back to us, and I just, oh, there's Bernadette Roberts. And then she turned around and went, and I watched the mind, though I couldn't be Bernadette Roberts. Well, it was. And I nobly got out of my shotgun seat to give it to her, and she wouldn't take it, and I was a little embarrassed. When we got out to the Institute and the classes began, within the first half day, about 50% of the people who had flown there from various parts of the country and paid money for their tree got up and walked out. My friends, both of them, one a psychiatrist, one a psychotherapist, got up and walked out. And during one of the breaks, a minister from another denomination came up to me because she could see that I was absolutely entranced with what I was being offered. And she said, why are you so slavishly devoted to what that person is saying? Can't you see this is not a completed being? No, I can't see that at all. I see a completed being. So, nobody seemed interested, except in an academic way. But my heart was being filled, and every evening during that five-day retreat, I was back at Bernadette's cottage with her, and I would sit on the floor, and she'd sit on the bed, and I felt like a master and disciple. She was pouring it out, and I was receiving everything she would give. And so eventually, she, knowing our dispositions and our interests, suggested, you know, you need to start something down in Austin. We had moved and tried one more church up in Kansas City, just to be sure. You need to start something in Austin. And so she came down here and gave us a retreat. Even before this church was started, she gave a retreat for some friends that we worked in the work of Inner Christianity with. But I want you to know her presence here. Her activity, her presence and her life have made this place. Now, the work of Inner Christianity is everything oriented to process. Thomas Keating's work is everything oriented to process. What Bernadette offers is the background of Christian understanding and the theological structures of creation. Not academically, experientially. How can I experience the presence of God? How can I be constant in that presence of God? All of it came from Bernadette Roberts. She sent me a pre-publication manuscript of the book, What Is Self? And I was a little flattered because she said, I appreciate your comments on it. And I felt like a midget next to a giant. I had nothing to say. But thank you. It blew my mind. I'd never seen such ideas. And when I wrote to her, I said, you know, I'm a hungry man and I smell a banquet and I'd like to beg for some scraps. Are you taking students? Can I be your devotee? Can I just follow you around? And she writes back, she says, what's gotten into you? Have you lost your faith in God or put too much faith in me? Nobody can teach the spiritual journey. We can only share our lives in God. So I want you to know that I tried every way I could to attach myself to her. And she did everything she could to keep available while at the same time not letting any codependent little relationship arise. So she's been here probably a dozen times doing her retreats on What Is Self and the Christian mystical journey. She's done retreats for us down at a camp we used to go to in Hunt, Texas. But you know, it's very difficult for us to get God's ordinariness. When we see it in the extraordinary, I loved Eastern spiritual masters, and I did attach myself to some of them. And they were always up, and we were always down. It wasn't any of this parallel stuff like Bernadette likes. It was always, I'm up here and you're down there and you maybe work your way up here. But that's not Christ. Christ is the us, the ordinary us. But with us raised to an awareness of the mystery that keeps having us. We can't explain ourselves when we stop and look. And so Bernadette's teaching is a way of integrating the experience of a self. And we may be interested in exploring for ourselves what that is, with the presence of the living Christ in the Trinity. Now, Peter wrote the liner notes for her newest book, The Mystery of or The Real Christ. And on the back, he says, this is the greatest book of mystical theology ever written. It is the E equals MC squared of Christianity. She's the Einstein of Christianity. Now, you hear all this stuff, and you see her, and it's like, but it's a little old lady. That's the point. That's the point. Nobody's wonderful in Christ. We're all human beings sharing a human experience. And it's an extraordinary thing just to get beyond our self-bound interests and open up to others and open up to new ideas that aren't culturally derived. But I tremble to tell you this, but I think it's a good idea too. When you dialogue with people that understand, it's all very ordinary. Today's gospel from Matthew's gospel, 22nd chapter, Jesus is dialoguing with some Herodians and Pharisees who come out to try to trick him because he is upsetting, as Bernadette does, upsetting traditional values and accepted ways of doing things, habitual, culturally defined ways of doing things. Somebody comes along and messes with it, and it's like, hey, wait a minute, buddy. Who are you? Now get this, Jesus doesn't wash his hands. That's an offense to the Pharisees because there's ritual everything for the Pharisees. They're very upright, and this guy is anything but upright. He hangs out with sinners. He invites tax collectors and prostitutes to dinner. Wow. This is off the mark, buddy. So they want to test him and they want to trick him. And they want him to look like a fool. So they ask him, teacher, we know that you're a very upright, wise man and you don't speak baloney. Is it right to pay taxes? Now they're trying to put a wedge between Jesus and his followers and the structure of culture. They're trying to trick him so that if he says something like, no, you shouldn't pay to Caesar because they see him as a man of God, then they can forget him. But he says, well, give me a coin. And they hand him a coin. And he says, whose picture's on this coin? And whose text? It says Caesar, and it's a picture of Caesar. Well, he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. That's an extraordinary answer. But now let's look at him. He's this guy. He looks like a guy. He's a Galilean. He's a hick, hanging out with hicks, if you will. And yet these profundities come out of him that completely baffle the upright people, but that engage the people who don't have status, don't have anything to lose. So Bernadette, by the way, and Jesus does miracles, healings, extraordinary things happen around him, but he still looks like this guy. Kind of look like you or me or any one of us. He's just this person. He doesn't have angels singing as he walks. Tinkerbell is not throwing fairy dust in front of him. It's just this guy. And yet, the disciples can say, what manner of man is this that the wind and the waves even obey him when he stills the sea? So here is the ordinary and the extraordinary all rolled up together. And very few people at the time knew what to do with it. It was so shocking. So Bernadette writes, she says there's no self. There is no self. Now here we are in a generation that has a magazine called Self. I have a little can of a drink, Self. Somebody brought me because I rail about self all the time. There's a drink called Self for the beautiful you. Now, self being raised to a level of selfishness in our culture has kind of stopped the flow of goodness, equity, and love, and grace, and mercy from flowing to those who need it. Because we're all about self. Well, here comes this lady saying there is no self. Now, the Buddhists have said this for centuries. No self. But she's saying it in quite another way. One day I asked her at a retreat, after listening so carefully, trying to get what she's saying, and I said, are you saying there is no individual? And she said, there is no individual. There is Christ. Now, what is Christ? It was certainly manifested in the person of Jesus, but hardly limited to that. That's what Christ wants us to know. That Christ in you, Christ in me is our hope of glory. It's the light, the creative light, the light emanations of God, the form of form. Self is a transient, useful, expedient, almost like the shell on an egg or the shell around a nut. The Christ DNA is what's inside, and it's in our hearts. Now, here's the part that I wanted to say that I feel a little shaky on. Bernadette looks like an old lady. She's got all this advice. She shakes up theological categories. She messes with the minds of theologians. You would not believe how theologians do not like this person. One of them said to me one day, "Well, she's not a theologian, is she?" No, but she changed Tim's life. Tim had one life before Bernadette and another life after Bernadette because he listened to what she said. And he loved it so much that he brought her to this church time and time again to sow that seed. So here's what I want to share. We used to have our retreats on Labor Day weekend down at Hunt, Texas, in a girls' camp, very nice girls' camp, that wasn't used at that time of year. And one year, it was about 110 or more degrees, and it was so hot, you could hardly breathe. So in this place, this beautiful camp called Camp Waldemar, they have this great lodge, gorgeous lodge, log lodge, and it's not air conditioned. So Bernadette was our retreat master, and all morning long we'd been sitting there dripping wet trying to hear, and you couldn't. So they had some fans, but they were those fans like this, and if you turned them on, there was no hope of hearing. So after a morning of this, Bernadette says, "We don't have to deal with this. Let's go talk to the mother about it." And she puts her hand on her hip like this. And about 85 of us, how many of us were there? Okay, good. About 85 of us follow her out onto the porch where she says to the mother, "We need some help." At that second, the sky turned black. Thunder and lightning came pouring out. It cooled down 30 degrees, and it stayed that way all weekend. Really? Yeah, really. But here's the thing. I used to talk to Bernadette about special things like that, and she said, "Drive them off." She was levitating like Teresa of Avila did, like the guy with the bell, Saint Joseph of Cupertino. There have been many, many cases of levitation. We know an old lady from New Hampshire that levitated. She locked herself in a room till it went away. The idea of specialness, the idea of having powers, is absolutely useless in Christianity. The idea that we're special is exactly what we're working against. We're not special. We're just human beings, together having a human experience and learning that we belong to God and that God lives us and God loves us and God's love is sufficient. So that's the only time I've seen her do anything like that. But I did see her do it. So I know that special powers are available, but they're useless for communicating truth. So in the East, when I was in India, I saw stuff in India that's just off the maps. It's common in India to see miraculous occurrences. We love special. But anytime somebody does something like that, it's like, "Oh, God, Maharaji or Babaji, oh, thank you. You're special, I'm not." The point is not to make special things happen, but to open a heart to love to open our hearts to our dependence on God, to open our hearts to the fact of God in each other, and the realization that we are all in this together, and that yes, God does touch people. Yes, God does speak through people. Yes, God does transform people, but it doesn't make them better than others. It makes them useful. It makes them capable of communicating the ineffable reality that beyond self is Christ, and Christ is all in all, and the mind of Christ is available to each and every one of us. There is no telling what Bernadette Roberts has meant to this church or to our lives. She's an extraordinary creature, and her work deserves extraordinary effort. It's hard to take her ideas in. You can't read her casually. You can't read her just like a book. Well, I got it. There's some ideas. It's the engagement with the ideas, the bearing of them, the putting them on, and putting oneself into the frame offered by the ideas that brings transformation of consciousness, because it brings us under different influences than the news does. There are three kinds of influences in this world that human beings are under the influence of. Some of them come from the horizontal plane, cause and effect. And 3 weeks ago, we read about that from Ecclesiastes. Everything goes around and around and around, happening again and again. That which was is yet to be. That which is yet to come. And then there are other influences that come from the celestial regions, from the divine regions, and they have an entirely different quality of being, an entirely different, you might say, food than the food of the impressions that we get from this, from the news and the cycle of current events that's always the same event. And then there are ideas or influences come this way, somewhere between the directness of a Bernadette and the meaninglessness of the horizontal, of the news. And that's the work of inner Christianity. That's the work that Thomas Keating offers us. These are the practices. Bernadette's ideas set the stage. Oh my God, I see. And then comes Thomas's work and the work of inner Christianity, of employing what we see and putting it on. Many people tell me that when they walk into this church, they can feel something. They can feel a presence, or they can feel the activity of the Spirit. Well, that's not because we're teaching the news here. We're teaching what's been passed down in Christianity for over 2,000 years. We're teaching the tradition that has transformed people for years before Christ. There are traditions that come down. Man is a seed, and the self is a shell around that seed. The self is a provisional, useful aspect for a certain stage of growth. But if that shell doesn't split and come open, if it doesn't reveal the interior DNA to the light of the world, then it's a seed that didn't sprout. There are seeds sprouting all over this sanctuary. Seeds of the new man, Paul called it, the new man. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Or what he says, now I live, no longer I, but Christ. So here at the end of an octave where Barbara and I have served the church, and the church has certainly served us, our octave with Bernadette is also coming to a close. But here's the deal. There are no endings. There are only new beginnings. And the extraordinary spirit that God has sown here through the grace of Bernadette, through the grace of Thomas and the work of inner Christianity, those seeds are meant to sprout and grow and bloom and become seeds that sow themselves all over the ordinary world, where you work, and in your families, and with your children. There's an opportunity to learn to carry ourselves in a little different way. that's not afraid anymore, that isn't trying to get over, doesn't have to protect itself, that isn't trying to grab onto more and more and more of what will eventually be released at our end anyway. But you can be sure that life isn't going to stop for Bernadette. She says, she told her kids, she says, "Well, if you ever want to see me after I'm gone, meet me in the Eucharist. That's where I'll be." Same thing Thomas said. "You can always meet me in the Eucharist." Now that may sound confounding, may sound a little strange, but then that sounds also like an opportunity to have a relationship with the Eucharist that draws us deeper and deeper and deeper into the mystery of God's love for man, and deeper into His transformative grace, so that we will no longer need others to tell us what we'd like to know, because the authentic living Spirit in our own hearts will teach us everything we need to know. So I am grateful that Bernadette didn't let me fasten on to her like one of the burrs that my dog gets stuck in her fur, because that's what I wanted to do. She knew, and I wanted to know, big time. But she also knew that if she let me depend on her, I'd never get it. I'd be a devotee. I'd be shining with her light, getting her light and her warmth. But you know what? She knew I had everything in me that she has in her. And that's what I offer. This amazing creature, this little old lady with four kids and seven grandchildren. Oh, I want to tell you one thing. Whenever she would come, I would want to show her how much I had learned since the last time she was there. So I would immediately, it felt like I was doing handsprings in the car, showing off. And I mean, all I would get for it was ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. She wanted to talk about grandchildren. I wanted to talk about cosmic things. But what I've come to know is that grandchildren are cosmic things. Ordinary life, going to work, driving in traffic, all the things we do are cosmic things when we understand them that way. So Christ in each of us is our hope of glory. Christ in each of us is the truth, the way, and the very life of our lives. And for all the beings that have helped us see it, for all the beings that have shared their growth with us, let us justify their efforts by going all the way ourselves and taking up God's offer ourselves to become the new woman and the new man. Okay, sorry. Let's stand up and give our hearts to song. Thank you.
trust in me. I come from the Father, trust in me. I come from the Mother, I will set you free. Trust in me, trust in me. Give me all your hurt and fear, trust in me. Your anger and your tears, your afflictions I will. Your path I will reveal. Just reach out your hand, trust in me. You are the branches. Trust in me. Open up a little more. Forgive every mistake. And love your refuge make. Know I'm with you always. Trust in me.
Now let's join together for a time of centering prayer and community. To prepare ourselves, we become aware that the seats on which we're sitting are supporting our body weight. And in that awareness, we accept that support and relax. Let go. Open. Still within and without. Relaxed, alert, and open, we allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love. Listening with the ear of the heart to the psalm of cosmic communion. May I join you, cosmic congregation of galaxies, as you dance with delight before our God. You spin and leap with brilliant bursts of light, never tiring of your sacred circle play. May I join you, star children of countless constellations, in the worship of our common Creator, in your rotating rituals of nuclear energy, as you sing cosmic chants of divine fire. May I join you, I who find my times of devotion so often flat and fireless, bound by routine and uninspired, stagnant due to their lack of zeal. May I join you so that my prayers may also spin with sparkling splendor, spawning long tails of luminous devotion to carry my praise and adoration straight to the heart of my beloved God. Let us join the living Christ as we pray in peace. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that serves us. And we do it in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every speck of creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our understanding of truth. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, we are so blessed when we simply remember God. Amen. Thank you.
awake now to the incoming presence of the Living One. As the Spirit moves us, we dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. So here's the Eucharistic mystery, as Thomas Keating expresses it. In the Eucharist, we are not only joined to Christ, whom we believe is present with his whole being under the symbols of bread and wine, but we believe that we are joined with all other Christians, with every member of the human race, and with the whole of creation. Christ is in the hearts of all men and women, and in the heart of all creation, sustaining everything in being. This mystery of oneness enables us to emerge from the Eucharist with a refined inward eye and invites us to perceive the mystery of Christ everywhere and in everything. He who is hidden from our senses and intellect becomes more and more transparent to the eyes of faith, to the consciousness that is being transformed. The Spirit in us perceives the Spirit in others. The Eucharist is the celebration of life, the dance of the divine in human form. We are a part of that dance. Each of us is a continuation of Christ's incarnation, insofar as we are living Christ's life in our own lives, or rather, instead of our own lives. The Eucharist is the summary of all creation coming together in a single hymn of praise, surrender, and thanksgiving. In the Eucharist, all creation is transformed again into his divine person and thrust into the depths of the Father forever and ever. Even material creation has become divine in him. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
You are in here.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace.
Amazing.
Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for reminding us of just how extraordinary our ordinary lives are in you. Amen.